All right, welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. You can go ahead and find your seats and turn your hymnals to song number 129, Rock of Ages. Song number 129, Rock of Ages. On the first, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Brother Arrhenius, would you like to pray for us this evening? Amen. All right, turn ahead, go ahead and turn your hymnals to song number 100 for our next song. Song number 100, Day by Day. Song number 100, Day by Day. On the first,
day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and share me. He whose name is Counselor in Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, with toil and trouble meeting, there to take as from a father's hand, one by one the days, the moments. was fleeting, till I reached the promised land.
All right, great singing. Go ahead and pull out your bulletins. We'll go through the bulletins. You don't have one. There's one. There's some in the back. All right, today's February 3rd, and the verse of the week will be, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 2:1. The service times, we have Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m., Thursday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., which is now. And church-wide soul winning times with their respected leaders. For the soul winning, does anybody have anything to report? Any soul winning to report? No? Okay. So we have 34 the year to date. We also have our expecting ladies, Corrine Darnell. Be in prayer for her and the baby, that everything goes well. With upcoming guest preaching, we have Brother Kisagira coming in for us. We're pleasure and honor to have him here. Sunday, February 6th, we have Duck and Urbanic. And then Sunday, February 20th, we have Chris Aguirre again. Sunday, March 6th, Brother Dylan Oz. Sunday, March 20th, Brother Ben Naeem. And then upcoming events, we have a soul winning marathon in Waco, Texas on February 26th. March 24th, 25th, and 26th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, soul winning seminar at Steadfast Baptist Church in Hearst, Texas. April 2nd, soul winning marathon in College Station. So we have some events to look forward to. And also, we have a prayer request. If you have any prayer requests, you can email or Pastor Shelley, or if you need any prayer. All right, so with that, we'll go ahead and turn to our third song, 169. 169, Come Thou Fount. Song number 169, Come Thou Fount. On the first, come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Strings of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I know by thy good pleasure, safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. All right. So while we pass the offering plate, go ahead and get your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Brother Jeff's going to come read for us.
Okay, so you all are there in 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible reads in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable of God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live into righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let's all bow our heads for a quick word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church and for our pastor. I pray that you would fill Brother Sigrid with your spirit and help us to preach accurately and help us to apply our hearts with the wisdom and take to heart this message that he's about to preach and help us be better Christians, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2, the verse that I want to focus on is right there in verse number 17. It says this, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. And that's what I want to preach about tonight is loving the brotherhood. Loving the brotherhood. And I want to start out by defining two words, one love and the other one brotherhood. I'll start with brotherhood. Brotherhood's found twice in the Bible, once referring to the brotherhood of a couple of individuals. So it's talking about a physical brotherhood. And the other verse is right here, verse number 17, where we're being instructed, yes, to honor all men, believers, unbelievers. But then it mentions, hey, love the brotherhood. It's like, yes, we want you to honor all men, but don't forget to love the brotherhood. Who's the brotherhood? Your fellow brothers in Christ, your church family, other people in other churches, the brotherhood. So we are commanded to love one another. And you're like, duh, we know that. Well, of course, this is one of the simplest things to obviously remember, because we're supposed to do it every single time. We obviously are around the brotherhood as much as we possibly can. You know, but if you have your Bibles, go to Psalm 127. Wait for me right there. Go to Psalms 127, verse 3. You know, so I want to talk about the other word I wanted to define, and that's the word love. And when I looked up the word love, it has a few meanings. It has a few meanings. Here's one of them. You know, somebody once or recently just told me, I was soul winning, that when he first met his wife, or when he first saw his wife, not when they met, when they officially spoke to each other, but when he went to church And the very first time he saw his wife, he says, "I fell in love." That's what he says. It was love at first sight. He's like, "Brother," he was asking me about my relationship. He's like, "When you saw your wife for the first time, was it love? You know, was it love at first sight?" I'm like, "Whoa, what?" He's like, "That's what it was for me, man. You know, I'm glad I'm serving the Lord. You know, I went to church, and then that's where I saw my wife for the very first time. I saw her in the building. I saw her like, wow, that's a really pretty girl." You know, he's telling me the story. You know, and at that moment, man, I had love for her. You know, I fell in love for her. And as we got to know each other, we were falling more in love. But what is this guy talking about? Like, love, you know? Because this isn't the other love that I want to refer to, but this is pretty much what he said. You know, in the Oxford American Dictionary, defines love as a deep romantic attachment to someone. A deep romantic attachment to someone. But that's not the only definition of love. For example, "For God so loved the world," it's not teaching us that God had this deep romantic attachment to the world, which is why he died. No. In fact, the other definition of love, you know, is simply this. It means to have an intense, deep affection. An intense, deep affection. Has nothing to do with the physical or the romantic. But here's the thing. This is something that God wants us to have. This type of love, where it's a deep, intense affection. What do I mean by that? Well, look at the word affection. You know, it has the first word, affect, meaning that you should have an emotion that affects you deeply. But it shouldn't be a negative emotion like anger. You know, that's not having love, that's having hate. It should be a deep emotion, a deep, intense emotion that's positive, like joy. Like, I would say, besides joy, I guess another one could be maybe even excitement, you know, which is similar to joy. But I guess the main thing I'm trying to say is that love is something that should affect you, not just be something that you do. It should affect you intense. It should be something from the heart, something that's inside of you, you know. And of course, when it comes to the other definition, you know, you should have that as well, you know, for your spouse. You know, you should have that type of love. You know, when Jacob, you know, loved Rachel, he obviously worked for her for 7 years, and he said that the love that he had for her was so strong, so intense, that romantic emotion that he had towards Rachel, that it seemed but a few days. So that's a warning to the ladies. That's actually a verse that if I was a woman, I would take heed to, because, hey, if a guy's trying to rush you and trying to rush a relationship, a physical relationship with you, and he can't even hold off for a sec, he can't even wait a year or so, then something might be wrong with this individual. Because somebody who does love you will be willing to wait and not try to rush it and not try to get physical before you get married. But hey, Jacob was the kind of guy that said, "Hey, I love Rachel to the point where I'll wait. Maybe forever." No, I'm just kidding. You know, but see, the other love, where it's an intense, deep affection, you know, that's what we should have, you know, with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, and we should have an emotion where when we have love towards someone, there should be happiness there. There should be excitement. You know, it should be positive. You know, so when we were to come to church and we see one another, you know, we should have some affection. We should have some kind of excitement, some kind of joy when we get around each other. You know, Pastor Shelley called me when I was in Mexico, and he's like, "Hey, I need you to preach this Thursday. Can you do it?" I said, "Yes," without even thinking about it. Why? Because I love preaching here. I love coming here and preaching. Why? Is it because of the weather? Is it because of the building? Is it because of the chairs? Is it because of the singing? No, it's because I love you guys. You know, because to me, faithfulness is a beautiful thing. Every time I come here, seeing your faces, seeing Liberty, even Mo, where's Mo? No, I'm just kidding. He's sick, all right? Don't tell me otherwise. But seeing your faces every time I come, it brings me joy. You know, every single time I pray for you guys, even though I sometimes can't remember names, and you just got to forgive me for that, I try to write them down, but then I lose them somewhere. But I try to pray for everyone, including this church. You know, I pray for Liberty. I pray for you. I pray for him. I pray for even the family that sits over here. You know, and I pray for even Brother Samson, his wife. And it brings me, you know, positive emotions when I think of you guys. When I'm like, "Lord, bless that church. Man, keep them faithful. They don't have a pastor and they're still coming." That's motivational right there. You know, that inspires me. You know, that makes me want to keep going down there and seeing these people And it just humbles me to see their faithfulness, see how they just keep coming service after service, even on a Thursday night, and they have no pastor, and they may even feel like a redheaded stepchild, but Lord, just keep them faithful and keep them coming. And even though you may not think you're doing much in life, hey, by still coming, me being here for almost 2 years, showing up here and there, seeing your faces, believe me, that makes me want to keep going myself. And when I'm praying for you guys, it's not because I'm just bored and have nothing better to do and I just happen to have extra time. No, it's because I want to pray, because I want to do something that can help you guys, whatever it may be. And I don't know your needs, but I know God does. And I just keep praying, God, whatever their needs are, meet their needs, keep them strong, protect them from the devil and his minions, and just help them to continue to be faithful. And of course, why? Because I love this brotherhood in this part of the world. I love coming here to see you guys. So it's not like a big drag. Like, yeah, I have to get on a plane, get up early and whatever. But you know what? Those things are like dung at the end of the day. Once I come here and I go home and they're like, how'd it go? You know what? I just love seeing those people. Maybe it was a blessing to them. Maybe I wasn't. But it was a blessing to me just to see these faces, just to see your kids. And it is what it is. I enjoy coming here because of the brotherhood, not because of the building. All right? But what else am I talking about? Listen, it's about showing it. It's about showing it. Hey, showing it to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially showing it to your family, your personal family, showing it to your kids, because I love my kids. You know, I think my kids are the greatest kids in the world. You know what? I wish I could spend more time with them. But the little things that I can do with them, I just want to do with them because what? Because I love them. You know, they bring joy to me. I have an intense, deep emotional attachment to them. You know, so I want to spend as much time as I can with them. But obviously, I'm also commanded. You know, I'm commanded to go labor. 6 days shall thou labor, amen. I got to go out there and earn. But you know what? It's not a dread because I'm earning it for them because I care about them, because I love them. And I try to work as much as I possibly can, even for my boss. Why? Because of the money that he's paying me? Absolutely 100% not. Because I want to get things done because I know it brings joy to my boss. And if you don't know who my boss is, it's Pastor Anderson. You know, so sometimes even if he were to say, listen, the finances are a little low, you know what? We're going to have to cut your pay. I will not stop working less. I might even work more to earn the respect of God so he can bless us with more finances so we don't have to worry about the stinking finances. We don't like dealing with that. We like to worry about God's work, the soul winning, the marathons, the missions trips, whatever it may be. You know, helping out church members just to be able to help them with a ride or whatever the case may be. Hey, those things bring me joy because what? Because I love the brotherhood. I enjoy doing those things because I care about the brotherhood. I love the brotherhood. And the more you learn to love the brotherhood, hey, the more you'll be a happy person. And that's what it's all about. Helping you guys to become better people, happier people through God's word by mentioning little things that we kind of take for granted. Because you hear it all day long. Love one another as Christ loved the church. But sometimes it just goes over our heads. And we don't realize just how important it is to love the brotherhood. You know, but to me, having children brings me great joy. You know why? Because I have that intense, deep emotional attachment to them that's positive, that's joyful. And you know what? It's biblical as well. I'll tell you to go to Psalms 127:3. It says this, lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Why is he happy? Because he loves his children. That's why he's happy, because he has that positive emotion, you know, that intense, you know, feelings towards their children, you know, that he can let a lot of things go. But overall, he enjoys his children because he has that love towards them, and he wants to see his children. He wants to come home to his children, and he wants to spend time with his children, and he loves talking to his children, and he wants to do as many things as possible with his children. You know, I ended up finding out that one of my kids told me, hey, Dad, you know, such and such wants a six-pack abs. It's like, he wants what? Six-pack abs. He's like, really? He's like, yeah. Because, you know, those kids are starting to get to that point where they are looking at themselves and they're like, you know what? It would be good to be strong. He wants muscles and whatever. I'm like, six-pack abs? I guess I can help you with that. So we met at a goal. All right, let's work on our six-pack abs. So since January, a month has passed, right? And I started January 1st, 218 pounds. Guess what I am right now? Right, 219 and a half pounds. I haven't lost a single ounce of fat off my body. But hey, we like to blame Corona, all right? Corona got us sick in January, so we couldn't hit the gym. I was quarantined for 3 weeks, so we gave it to Corona. Corona won this victory, all right? But now we're going into February. We'll see how things go. give us 6 months and we'll see where we're at. But I'm just like, hey, sure, if that brings joy to you or you think that's going to make you happy, son, I want to make you happy because I love you. Because I love you, son. So let's go at it. Six packs, eight packs, whatever you want. Yeah, you know, the odds are against us, but let's do it. But either way, three things I want to teach about loving the brotherhood. What does it really do? Besides, you know, I guess, you know, when you look at it, besides us keeping a commandment. Well, probably the first thing, if you really just stop and think about it, the first thing about being a person that loves the brethren is that it's a joyful thing to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a very joyful thing. I didn't tell you to go there, but if you can, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. While you go there, I'm going to read from Psalms 133:1. It says this, behold, how good and how pleasant. Pleasant. What is that word pleasant? It's joyful. It says, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Pleasant. Joyful. And who is it good and who is it pleasant to? It's pleasant to God. It's joyful to God. It's a good thing to God when he sees us, like it says right there, dwelling together in unity. And that can only happen when we do actually have love for the brethren. See, if we don't have love for the brethren and we do things just because we have to do them, you know, it's not going to last very long. You know, love is what's going to help you. Love is like a strength that's going to help you to continue and not quit. Same thing. Why don't I want to quit? Why do I want to spend hours just to finish a certain project? Because I want to do it for my boss. I want my boss to be happy. I want to come to my boss and say, hey, that project that you gave me, it was difficult. You know, it was a pain. But you know what? It's done. And it's like, wow. You know, you finished it? And I'm like, done. Here's an example. We're giving away posters right now. And everybody wants one. Everybody. And guess what? We didn't have extras. We ordered them. The day that Pastor Anderson made an announcement saying, hey, we got this prophecy poster. We've had it for about 7 years, and we just want to give it to anybody at church. They're in the back, grab some, and we're also going to open it up to those watching at home. If you want one, email the church, and we'll send you one. And we're also going to open it to Canada. You know, if you're from Canada, hey, if you want this poster, we just want it to be a blessing to you. We're going to get this information in people's hands. Just email the church. All of a sudden, all these emails start popping. We didn't even have an opportunity to even, like, grab the posters. We just threw them in the church. And next thing you know, we got like 300 requests. Then 350 requests. Then we're at 400 requests. Then we're at 450. So we got cracking. For hours upon hours upon hours. You know how long it takes just to do one poster? If you're fast, a minute. Multiply that times 450. And you'll figure out how long it took to get these things out of there. But we did it. It was hard. It was hours upon hours. We didn't want to quit. We're like, hey, if the boss says we'll send you one, let's make the boss look good. And we sent him out. We sent 350 out probably in the next couple of days. That's not easy. We sent 350. We ordered 500, gave the church about 50. Sure enough, we had only 350 boxes. We were naive. We didn't count the cost of putting this message out. We felt like maybe 200-300 people are going to request one. No, we ran through all 500, and we just got another 500 today. So if anybody's watching that just happens to be watching, haven't got your poster yet, don't worry. We just got them today at 10 a.m., and we got all these tubes ready to go, and we're going to just be putting posters in every single one of these tubes and ship them out. And Pastor Anderson would have been like, you didn't have to do that. He said, you could have just done maybe 10 a day, 20 a day, 30 a day, not 150 a day. But why did I do it? Because of the love for the brotherhood, you know? He's included as well. I say, you know what? I want to do it not because you're paying me. You know, I want to do it not because it's going to be great information that can actually save people's, I guess you could say, physical lives during the tribulation and help them to figure out how the thing's going to go so they can kind of figure out how much food to buy. Instead of having to have years of food, you only need 75 days, homie. That's all you need, you know? Hey, sell the rest of the food. In fact, I don't know if it's God that's behind this, but I saw an infomercial of some guy that literally has like a survival pack. He has like a 70-something day survival pack. And I don't know if this guy's a prophecy expert or something, but he has like bins. He has like bins this high, and he claims it's $75 or 75 days worth of food. It's all nice and just like I don't know what you call it when you take the air out of packages and it makes them smaller. I don't know what that's called, you know, whatever it is, but he's showing it off, and then he's eating it. Mmm, so delicious. Chicken and rice. You just never know when society's going to go downhill. This is delicious. Get him now with a pie slice. You better hurry. And I'm thinking, that's what I need to buy. For reals. But some people don't know. But that pastor's going to help. The pastor's going to help them know, you know, just how many days before the Lord returns, you know, 75 days after this. But here's the thing, though. Yeah, we didn't have to do that. But we wanted to do it because of love. It wasn't going to put more money in my pocket. It was just like, no, I want these things out. I want them in people's hands, yes, but I want the boss to be happy. And I know the boss wants them out. Let's get him out. Let's send him out. Let's work all night. Let's get it done. Hey, it was hours upon hours. It was probably a 20-hour-plus project to just get these things out. We got them out, you know, in 2 days, 350 of them. We got them out. People started saying, hey, thank you so much, X, Y, and Z. But how did that happen? Hey, it was because of love. You know, because I care about Pastor Anderson, I believe he didn't get me saved, but you know what? He saved my physical life because he wasn't afraid to preach the truth. And I needed to hear certain truths because I was in certain sins and I had no clue. I was good in my own sight, but I wasn't good in God's sight. Had I not come across these truths, I wouldn't be blessed by God. That's what the Bible says. When a man is good in his sight, that's when he'll bless you, not when you're good in your own sight. And I literally have people tell me, I don't know why I'm going through so much. I feel like I'm just the worst person in the world. I just don't know why God's punished me left and right. And we're all like, we can tell you why if you really want to know. It's like, you're not going to church. You're not reading. You're not going soul winning anymore. You know, it's like you're addicted to cigarettes and you're not even thinking that you need to give them up. It's like, dude, you know, you smoke weed here and there. And like, I could tell you why. But they literally don't know why because they're good in their own sight. And that can happen to anyone. And guess what? This person doesn't read their Bible like they should. Guess what? This person doesn't come to church and hears God's word. You know, they probably think it's for those that are really hardcore, really serious about serving the Lord. No, it's for everyone. It's the backslider, you name it, it's for everyone. It's not just for certain individuals. You know, but obviously the Bible makes it very clear that, hey, loving the brotherhood is a joyful thing to God. And it will be to us as well. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. It says this, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. So this is just about the brothers, the brethren, that they will go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A lot of times we just use that to just tell people, listen, you should give. Give with the right heart. But don't forget, when you give and you give with the right heart, hey, it brings joy to the Lord. It makes them happy. But how can somebody give and give joyfully when they have the right love, when they love the brotherhood, when they realize this money is going to pay for my pastor so that he can keep doing what he's doing? But this money is going to go to the church so they can use it as they see fit for soul winning, for missions trips, for whatever the case might be, even helping other people if we need to, because we have people that say, hey, I can't pay my rent. And it's like, listen, we can probably get away with it now because of Corona, so we're going to help you out. But listen, we're basically doing the best we can, you know, with what we have. You know, so here's the deal. We're going to help you out, but you got to understand that this isn't how it's supposed to go. But obviously, we try to use our finances for what? You know, for the Lord's work. And the Lord's work, guess what? It's a lot. It's a lot the Lord has to do. You know, so anybody that gives and they have the right attitude, they have the loving spirit that they should have, they're a cheerful giver. Hey, bottom line, they're not going to ever be, like it says right there, you're not going to grudgingly give. And when you learn to love the brethren, when you give, it's going to be all just joyful. It's like, here, take it. I don't care. And that's how I was, because when I realized, hey, the tithe is the Lord's, it's not even mine. You know, it's up to the pastor to decide what to do with it. Every time I gave, I didn't really care. When people would hit me up like, hey, did you see such and such? Did you see whatever? You know, look where he's spending his money. I'm like, I don't care what he spends his money. He could literally take the money and buy magic beans. I don't care. It really does not bother me because it's not my money, you know? And I gave it to him because he's going to use it for the Lord's work. And the Lord's work includes helping the brethren, not just unsaved people. So whatever he sees fit, hey, our money goes to him. He does whatever God wants him to do with it. And I'm not worried about it because I care about the brethren. I know the money's going to go to help the brothers in the church or whatever the case may be. You know, but not just that. you know, it's a joyful thing for even the world. If you can, your 2 Corinthians, I'll give you a few minutes to go to John 13. Go to John 13 if you can. John 13. You know, so loving the brotherhood is obviously something that's not hard to figure out as far as what God wants us to do. Knowing how to do it, we'll talk about that at the end and we'll finish with that. You know, but in John 13, 34, if you can get there, great. If not, just meet me in Matthew 18. But John 13, 34, it says, the new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples. Saying, look, it's a joyful thing. It's a good thing when you love one another, because everyone's going to see it. And it's going to be wonderful when people are getting together and they're all together in one accord. And I hate when people fight. I hate when my children fight. I absolutely hate it. Kids, listen up. Please try as best you can not to fight with one another. Don't pick on each other. Don't call each other names. Don't punch. Don't kick, because it does hurt your parents. We absolutely hate it. We don't like it one bit. It kills us when you guys fight, and it kills us when you guys call each other names. It hurts us whether you know it or not, but it also upsets God. That's why God doesn't want us as brothers to fight. That's why he says it's a pleasant thing when brethren dwell together in unity. It makes God happy, and every parent will tell you, we're really happy when you guys are getting along. But when you guys start yelling at each other, and then you punch and you kick and you bite, I hope nobody's biting, but when you start going at it with one another, kids, let me put it this way, it hurts us as parents to see that. It even causes us sometimes to be nervous and afraid. Like, my goodness, I hope you guys snap out of this at some point, because if you grow up to be this individual that just easily fights everyone, you're not going to have a very nice life. You're just not. But besides it being a joyful thing, if you can go to Matthew 18, you know, loving the brotherhood is the right thing to do, or it's just. It's just. It's the right thing to do. To love the brotherhood. Go to Matthew 18 if you can. And we'll talk about the parable of the individual that didn't have brotherly love, or didn't love, you know, those around him. But he wanted love. And I'll quickly go over it. In Matthew 18, it says, then came Peter to him and said, lo, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, you know, until seven times, you know, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which will take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But as for much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is love. So here's a great king. What causes him to do this is he had compassion. He had love. And this is why it's important for you to have love, because you will be able to forgive and not hold grudges. It'll help you to be a great Christian and succeed in a Christian life when you can learn to have compassion. But if you don't, we'll see what happens when you don't have compassion. Let's keep reading. It says he had compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant, who of course does not have compassion, he doesn't have love, he could care less about anybody but himself, and he would not have brotherly love. He would definitely not love the brotherhood or be considered someone that loves the brotherhood. It says the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him. Man, it has to take a lot for you to get your hands on somebody, grab them physically. I mean, a lot of people have said a lot of dumb things to me and have angered me, but I've never grabbed them by the neck. So you must be a really angry, wicked person to be able to do such a thing. And this guy's not even calling them names. He just says, I don't have the money to pay you. What? Come in and pay me. That's got to be really wicked. I mean, think about that. You're physically harming someone. You're not just grabbing him by the shoulder like, listen, you promised to pay me. You need to pay me. He didn't do that. He's like grabbing him by the neck. That's trying to like really hurt the guy without getting in trouble. Like trying to cause the guy some pain. Man, I hope no one here ever gets to that level. But why? Why is this guy at that level? Because he doesn't have love. He doesn't have love for the brotherhood. And take heed lest you be this person. That, yeah, you're glad God died for your sins and forgiving you and giving you eternal life, but you can't turn around and do the same for someone who might have accidentally crossed you, because let's face it, if you don't offend someone, then you're a perfect person, according to James. So guess what? I'm not perfect, so I'm sure I'm going to say, do, or maybe even think something that will offend God, or say something that would offend you guys, or do something that would offend you guys. And listen, just give me the benefit of the doubt. I'm not perfect when I speak. Amen? I may say or do something, but listen, the bottom line is that if you forgive others, God will forgive you. And if you can't let go of things, you're going to become a very wicked person to the point where you're physically trying to hurt people who aren't really doing much to you. Yeah, this guy should have paid him what he owed him, but come on. It's like you just got forgiven for thousands and thousands of dollars. Your wife almost got sold. Your kids almost got taken away from you, and you can't let this go? That's why, of course, this story is in there. So let's keep reading. It says, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he will not. But when they cast him into prison, now look at that, locking people up like an animal. Man, I don't know, but sometimes I watch these prison videos, and I feel bad for these criminals. Literally, in those tiny little rooms, having to deal with a bunch of crazies. Some of them are surrounded by sodomites. Literally, they're like, oh, man, there's like this dude in here who he's like, whatever. You know, they have to deal with that guy. They have to deal with guys constantly, you know, at each other. They have to deal with drugs, a lot of drugs in prison. You know, people think, oh, if they're in prison, they can stop committing crimes. No, they're committing crimes in prison. I don't know how, but there's a lot of ways, I guess, you can smuggle that stuff in. I don't even want to talk about them, but you know what I'm talking about. But here's the deal. Let's just make sure that we don't get to the point where you're glad somebody's in prison. You know? Yes, you know what? It is what it is. We should have laws. You know, we believe in the death penalty. If you don't believe in the death penalty, read your Bible, because God is for the death penalty to keep crime under control. You know, when we don't execute the death penalty fast, guess what? It sends a message that we really don't care about, you know, justice. So go ahead and gamble and try to rob that bank and make a $1 million hit or whatever the case may be. Because guess what? If they catch you, nothing's really going to happen to you. Look at this guy. He murdered this people. He's still in prison alive and well. Look at this person. So then people started justifying their brains. Like, you know what? You know, if this score goes well, you know, hey, I can be set, you know. But if it doesn't go well, oh well, you know. You know, not like they're going to put me to death or anything. I'll just do whatever and, you know, get out 20 years later, and they can justify it in a million ways. But when they see people getting executed left and right, they'll be less likely to rob that bank, less likely to commit that fraud. They'll be less likely to do something, you know, that's going to get them locked up for a long time. Because when they see people getting executed, they're like, whoa, let me think twice about this. But when they see people in jail for 50, 60, 70 years, you know, that doesn't discourage them, period. Especially if they're reprobate. It's not going to discourage them at all. They probably want to be in prison. Let me be out here and ruin people's lives and molest as many kids as possible, because what's going to happen when they catch me? Nothing. By the time they catch me, I'm going to molest 200 of them. By the time they catch me, guess what? I already did so much of it, I'm probably tired of it, and I don't mind being in jail with a bunch of other idiots that are probably reprobates themselves, and they have all the food they want, they got all the free time they want, they have all the books to read time or whatever, and they don't care about getting out because they're reprobate. You know, they don't have the need of the woman anymore. You know, now they can just meet in prison and commit all kinds of filth. You know, hopefully they just all get AIDS in prison and die. You know, but for the rest of the people that are locked up for non-violent crimes, if you think it's good for them to be there and you have no compassion, when I watch these videos, I'm just like, my goodness. You know, they're just there every day just staring at a TV screen, not even books to read. They're just literally there just sitting around like animals in a zoo. I feel bad for those people. I don't care if they did go to jail for selling weed or whatever. I'm like, man, let those people. It's like our system is so messed up. It's so messed up. And I have compassion for those people when I see them being interviewed in jail, especially when they're in juvenile hall and they're going to spend about 20 years in prison. I'm like, man, you're 18. You're 16. I feel bad. How much more should I have compassion for my brothers, for the brotherhood? You know, yes, you know, I feel bad for these people. I should feel more compassion for my brothers in Christ. You know, but we see in this story that this guy, that he already got forgiven for the money that he owed, hey, he doesn't forgive for money that other people owe him. And verse 32 says this, then his Lord, after he had called them and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have a compassion on thy fellow servant as I have pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. Obviously, the Lord, you know, is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people say, oh, Jesus was just a pot-smoking hippie. You know, he was just going around just hanging out with the worst of the worst and teaching them the love of God, et cetera, et cetera. No, Jesus Christ is a wrathful God. Jesus Christ has wrath. I mean, he's going to be the one that basically sends people into hell, casting them into hell. They'll be burning forever in the presence of the Lamb. And who's the Lamb? That's Christ. So he does have wrath. And he even said, fear me. When people are like, hey, you know, we're afraid to serve you. Hey, don't fear them. They kill the body, but I'm not able to kill the soul. But fear him, basically saying, hey, fear me. Oh, no, but Jesus, he was just a pot-smoking hippie with long hair. Ain't happening. Says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father, and it's not just Jesus actually saying, hey, it's the Father. He's going to do unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Why? Why should I just forgive? Why? Because it's the just thing to do. Number one, we already know that it brings joy. You know, loving the brethren brings joy to the Lord. It's a joyful thing to the Lord. But number two, it's a just thing to do. It's the just thing to do. And number three, and I wrap it up with this one, it justifies you. Being someone that can love the brotherhood justifies you. Let's take a look really quick. If you can, go to Luke 18. Go to Luke 18. I'm 32 minutes into the sermon. Go to Luke 18. We're going to go over a few verses, and then we're going to end. We're going to go right back to 1 Peter where we all started. So the first thing is, loving the brotherhood is a joyful thing. It's a pleasant thing to God. Loving the brotherhood. What do I mean? I mean that you have this intense feeling. Just like you love your kids, it should be the same for your church members. Just like you want to go home and be around your kids and you want to do things for your kids, it should be the same for people in your church. Meaning that you shouldn't come to church and be like, man, the church would be such an awesome church if it weren't for him. I hope he just gets out of here someday. You know, it's like, man, I love everyone, but I can't stand her. You know what I'm saying? It's like, just keep me away from this woman. Please, don't pair me up with her. I don't want to see her. I just decided already in my heart that, you know what, we're just going to agree to disagree. And the best thing I could do at this moment is just to stay away, far away. You know, just like the Bible says, stay far away from the adulterous woman's house. I'm going to stay away from this adulterous woman, even though she's not an adulterous woman. It's like, think twice before you go that route. Why? Because look what's going to happen to you. Luke 18. And it says, and he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And that's what I've noticed. A lot of people that say, well, you know, I can't hang out with these people. They literally think that they're righteous. They're blind. Because that's not the right attitude. Now listen, for the sake of peace, if you got beef with someone, chill the heck out. It's better to just break up, chill out. But when it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years later, and the soul winner's like, hey, I can't pair you. Oh, no. Nope. Don't pair me up with this person. Nope. It's like, do you know that you're righteous in your own eyes? Everyone can see it. It's like, that's pretty messed up. How long has it been? It's like, seriously? Years? Not even months? Years? And you still have issues with this person? It's because you're righteous in your own eyes. And see, if you don't become a person that knows how to love the brotherhood, guess what? In God's eyes, hey, he's saying, you ain't justified. You know, you're in sin. You're not justified in my eyes. Let's take a look. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So this guy is clearly, like, feeling bad for what he's doing. And he's there just smoting his breast, meaning that he's probably in tears. He's there, he's suffering, he's just trying to get right with the Lord. If I would have saw that, I would have been like, man, I feel bad for this guy. Like, what is he going through? But nope, the Pharisee is like, I'm not like this guy. This guy's on his knees. He's literally like, God, I'm sorry. Please, I'm sorry. And this guy's like, look at this guy. I'm glad I'm not like this guy. No compassion, no love. I'm telling you, sometimes I see people in church, and I can see, I don't even need to like ask. I can see them talking to someone else, and they start tearing up. I immediately start feeling bad. I feel bad. I'm like, oh, man, what's going on? And I was like, what's the issue with that? It's like, Lord, I don't know what's going on. You know, but I clearly see, I saw Pastor Anderson's daughter one time crying, and I didn't even know what it was about. So I saw her crying. I almost wanted to cry myself, and I don't even know what the issue is. I was just like, what's going on with such and such? I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, Lord, what's going on I just don't like to see these kids or anyone, you know, going through some kind of emotional pain. And so I just immediately, when I see that, and it will happen, you'll probably notice it here. Somebody's struggling, all of a sudden you're talking to them and they start tearing up. Or you see them talking to somebody else and it looks serious. And next thing you know, they're tearing up, they're wiping their hands, you know. Like, I just can't help but feel bad. And I just do my best to start praying. My pastor was going through a real serious battle. He did his best. He preached after the service. And I've never seen this ever. I don't even know if I should be saying this, but I've never seen this before where he felt like quitting. Like, he literally said, I am about to quit. I am about to quit. And then sure enough, somebody walks up to him and says, please don't quit. He's like, you have no idea just how bad I was before I came across your preaching. He's like, please don't quit for us. And pastor broke into tears. He breaks into tears to the point where he has to wipe them. You know how sometimes you get teary-eyed, but you don't need to wipe them? He was so teary-eyed, he had to wipe them. Like, he wiped them off his face. And as soon as I saw that, I started crying. I couldn't help it. Why? Because I had compassion. Why? Because I love for the brotherhood. And if it would have been somebody else, it would have been the exact same way. But how are you when you see people suffer? Are you like this Pharisee? It's like, good, they deserve it for being such a bad soul winner. Good, they deserve it, you know, for being so goofy. I don't know. Or do we feel bad when somebody tears up and cries and breaks down and you realize something's going on in this person's heart? Lord, what's going on? Do you feel bad when they feel bad? Do you rejoice when people rejoice? And do you also sorrow when people are sorry? If you do, then you know what? You could be somebody that knows how to show love. Even though you may not even talk to the individual, you can just show love by saying, God, you know what? Help this person out. Because I used to go to an addictions program. It was a faith-based addiction program. It was decent. And one of the first things they wanted to cover was love. And this is the definition that it gave us. It says, the willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return. And I don't know if it's the best definition, you know. I don't know. I know it's a good one because you can see that in John 3:16. The willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others. What did Christ gain by going on the cross? Did he gain anything? No. But did we gain something? Absolutely. Did he willingly do it or was it grudgingly? He willingly did it. He willingly did it. The willing, sacrificial. Can anybody deny that he sacrificed himself? Nobody can. If you do, you're a fool. You need to read the scriptures again. So he willingly sacrificed himself for the benefit of others. And maybe he had thought of return. Like, I get to spend the rest of my life, my eternal life with you guys. Maybe that was the thought of return. But obviously, when we talk about thought of return, meaning that you're only doing something because you want something from this person. That's not love. You know, that's not love at all. You know, if you do things for people for their benefit and you don't expect anything in return, now you're in the realm of love, of loving the brotherhood. So the other point I want to make is that it's not hard to figure out how to love the brotherhood. How do you know? Well, I don't even know where I got this Bible. Oh, you know what? I ordered it on Amazon. But it's funny because I'm reading right here our verse, you know, verse number 17, love the brotherhood. And somebody may say, how can I start? Well, look at this. Show brotherly love. So let's go there. 1 Peter chapter number 2. If you can, quickly get there. If not, don't worry. No biggie. I got 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. It's 39 minutes. I'm about to finish in 5. But let's just kind of see what this chapter is about. I mean, if you want to know how to love the brotherhood, and there's a section in the Bible that's titled Show Brotherly Love, I don't think God's going to make it hard for you to realize how to become someone that loves the brotherhood. Because it's a commandment, love the brotherhood. That's not a suggestion. But I'm glad God doesn't just tell you to do something and doesn't give you an idea on how to do it. But I'm sure this isn't everything, you know, that you have to learn about loving your brothers or loving the brotherhood. But let's just quickly see what it says. It says this, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion. Is that a shocker? Having love, having compassion. So what is love? Hey, it says right there, show brotherly love, having compassion. Compassion. What is compassion? It's that deep, intense feel that you have in you for other people. Not hatred, but to want to see them succeed. To want them to be happy. That's really what you're basically saying when you say, hey, you know, I love my kids. What are you saying? Hey, these kids bring me joy. You know, I enjoy my kids. I love my wife. What am I saying? I enjoy my wife. Not just that I have compassion, I enjoy my wife. You know, I love my wife. I love Pastor Anderson. What am I saying? I'm not saying that I have a romantic affection towards him, like the first definition. I'm not saying that. And I've even seen Pastor Anderson tell people, hey, I love you. And they're not females. You know, we had a guy who he kicked out for ending up being a oneness heretic. And I was there when he fired him, and I was there when he kicked him out. At the time, he didn't realize how bad he was. But he told him, you know what? Hey, I don't hate you. I love your brother such and such. I absolutely do. But here's the thing. You're screwed up. You're screwed up. You're into damnable heresy, and I don't know why, but I love you. And listen, I don't want anything bad to happen to you. I love your brother such and such. I wish you well. If you want to keep coming to Faithful Word, you keep coming to Faithful Word. You know, but you need to figure out this doctrine. And obviously, he turned out just to be a false prophet. But he said that to him. I love you, and I believe he meant it. Because he didn't know I was recording him. I filmed the whole thing. We released it later on YouTube because this guy was talking so much trash that he forgot, you know, just how the story really went. He was exaggerating the truth, making himself look like a tough guy, trying to make Pastor Anderson look like a sissy or whatever. And I basically uploaded that video, and the truth came out that he was a sissy. That's just the fact. It was all over your face. You cried like a little girl, you know? And Pastor didn't know I was filming him. He didn't say, hey, record this. I'm about to fire him. He didn't say that. I just felt like, you know what? This is such a big deal. I might as well film it and forget it. If we don't need it, we don't need it. But it might help us out down the road. Because who knows what this guy's going to say. It's going to be Pastor Anderson's word versus his word. And let's just have something on file. And I don't know how that camera just magically aimed it right at his face. And it was perfectly like, I had it like this. And it was like somehow it magically just did it by itself. Like stare up in his face. I didn't even one time like aim it at him. I'm just like this under my armpit. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I'm even recording him. I don't care. I just want the audio. But it was bam right in his face because God knew what was happening. But if you wonder, where can I begin? Do I really have brotherly love? Do I really love the brethren? We'll just read this. I mean, it's a small section. It's not that long. I'll quickly read it. Having compassion, one of another, love as brethren. That's the brotherhood. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Now, was that Pharisee pitiful when the guy's on the ground? Like literally crying, begging God to be merciful. That Pharisee was like, I don't know what's going on with this dude, but good. You know, thinking publican, taking all my money. Publican's a tax collecting thief. So this guy's tithing twice a week. He has money, you know, and the publican's taking some of that money. So I'm sure the love of money, which is the root of all evil, is causing this Pharisee to be like, yeah, I'm not like this publican who takes my money and gives it to Caesar. That's probably what's happening. He's despising this guy for taking money that this guy thinks he earned when God gives us the strength to make money. He puts one up and he breaks one down. But people don't see it this way. They're like, no, I'm rich because of my own whatever. But hey, the scripture said that God is the reason why you have what you have. Don't forget that, Mr. Pharisee. But once again, what's it say? Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. What does that even mean, railing for railing? Sometimes people come to us and they're saying, hey, I just want to let you know, you know, this guy is doing X, Y, and Z. Really? You got evidence? No, but I'm pretty sure. He's like, do you realize what you're accusing him of? You're doing it right now yourself. You're saying this person is going around talking bad about you, and you have no evidence for it, but yet you're basically saying that he's talking bad about you, and you have no evidence for it. You know what that's called? That's called railing. So that's why it says railing for railing. You're claiming this guy is railing on you, and you're railing on him right now because you're saying he's doing X, Y, and Z, and you have no evidence for it. And it's even coming out of your mouth. That's railing for railing. And it's crazy because sometimes when people get paranoid and they accuse people of certain things, they're actually doing it themselves. And they don't see it. It's mind-blowing. Like, everybody can see it. It's like, this dude's the whatever, and he's claiming such and such is the whatever. But that's how blind, you know, sin can cause us to be. But contrary-wise, blessings. I mean, is there anybody in the church that you cannot bless? You might want to get that right. Knowing that you are there unto cold, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue for evil. So be careful what you say about people. Be careful what you say about the brotherhood as well. And his lips that they speak no God, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And sometimes you may think, but yeah, but this church member, you don't understand. This guy just has issues with me. I'm pretty sure he's turning people against me. I'm pretty sure he's the root of all my problems. Oh yeah? Well, let's just say that's true. What does the Bible say? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but his face, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So
So, hey, stop talking like an unbeliever and start talking like a believer. So if he is going around causing people to hate you and despise you and he's talking bad about your name, don't worry about it because the Bible says that God is against that person. He's against that person. So sleep at night that if you're so right, you're going to be okay. Don't freak out. He said, calm down. Read this scripture again. God's eyes are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. So if this guy is going around and you have no evidence, God does know. God does know if it's true. But it says this, and who is he that will harm you? I love that part. It's kind of like, yo, man, chill. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that, which is good? So worry about the other stuff, not to do the other stuff. Don't worry about what other people are up to. Worry about what you're doing. Don't be the one that's causing railing for railing. Don't be the one that's speaking guile. Don't be the one that doesn't eschew evil. Don't be the one that doesn't seek peace and ensue it. Don't be that individual. Worry about those things. Because those things are going to make you somebody who will eventually be a loving person and you'll love the brotherhood with no problem. And if somebody is out to get you in church, they have some grudge against you and they're turning everyone against you or whatever the case may be, hey, who can harm you if you're a follower of that which is good? Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. So if you want to know how can I be somebody that can love the brotherhood, well, here's a chapter, 2 Peter chapter number 2, chapter number 3, verse 8. Simply put, hey, show brotherly love. Here's how you can be somebody that loves the brotherhood. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for these people, Lord. Thank you for these faithful people. And every time I come there, Lord, it just humbles me just to see them. Why? Because, Lord, hey, they don't have a pastor this full time. That can cause anybody to just quit and come back later, but they decided not to. They're going to serve you, and they're going to serve you well. And so, Lord, I just ask you, they came here while it's cold, it's miserable, it's rainy. But, Father, they showed up tonight. Hey, this is what it is, dear Lord. That's faithfulness. Bless their faithfulness, and we ask you to do this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus loves me. Hymn 187, Jesus loves me. Okay, on the first. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Great singing. You are all dismissed. Have a good evening.